Hi, my name is Jack Register, and I'm the host of Finding the Zen Within, the anger management podcast for men. Glad to be back with you all. It's been a couple of weeks since we had a podcast. Lots of things have actually happened in my world, and it's actually part of the reason why I come to you tonight. We actually are going to talk today about the issues of control and what happens when control suddenly disappears from our life, and what are the consequences for those of us who struggle with anger and anger management issues. As with all of our podcasts, this is not therapy. So if you're struggling or feel like you actually want to go deeper into the work yourself in a supported therapeutic kind of way, we strongly recommend places like Psychology Today, Therapy Den, or OpenPath as places that you can go and seek out that kind of help. As always, if you're struggling with thoughts of suicide or harming yourself or someone else, please reach out to the National Suicide Hotline in a text of 988. And if you're someone who is an LGBTQIA plus youth, please reach out to the Trevor Project if you're struggling. Those folks will most certainly help you. Today's conversation is about control. The reason why I bring this to you is in the last couple of weeks, I've had several things happen all at once. I had some issues with technology that caused me to have to rethink my entire setup and actually put my podcast on pause for a bit. When I've got some phenomenal guests that you all will get a chance to talk to soon, which I'm so excited about. And then I also had a vehicle issue where I blew a tire on the interstate while I was driving. And this was a really terrifying experience. And I found myself really struggling with how am I going to show up in the right way and not let the Hulk or my anger issues, as I call it, I like to name him the Hulk so that I can actually have a relationship or non-relationship with him. And what happens in dealing with all of that stuff. So thankfully, I wasn't really hurt. The car wasn't damaged. I never got into a real serious accident. And so there wasn't necessarily a lot of chaos related to it, but there was chaos around it and then trying to deal with the aftermath. And so issues of control are really interesting for those of us who struggle with anger because we believe that control comes into play because of external forces, meaning if XYZ person, if my wife didn't do, or my partner didn't do, or if my boss didn't do, or my kids didn't do, I wouldn't respond the way that I do. When in reality, we only have control over ourselves. And control in general, external to ourselves, is actually an illusion. But when we get into the understanding of what's really going on with issues of anger management, control becomes a really important conversation. So that's where we're going to go today. One of the big things that control takes from us when we lose it is the ability to regulate our emotions. Now, in the world of psychology, we talk about the idea of containing our emotions or a container for our emotions so that they don't get unrealistic or we become what's called dysregulated. And this can be something as simple as, say, I go to the bank on payday, thinking that my check has gone in and I'm going to go get some cash so I can go take care of errands and whatnot on the way home. So my mind is set and this is my agenda and this is my expectation. I get to the bank, I wait in line, I do all the things, and the cashier says to me, "No, Jack, your check isn't here." And I'm like, "But it should be here." And she's like, "No, it's not here." And so I immediately, if I am in dysregulated state, I'm going to blame her for the feeling state that I'm in. And the anger that is starting to rise, and she has caused this in me, when in reality, she's just reading from a computer screen in terms of the what is the actual facts. And so the notion of dysregulation is, or being out of containment, doesn't mean that we don't experience our feelings, but that we're able to experience our feelings appropriately and then express them in an appropriate manner. And that's really hard to do whenever you're stuck in the middle of seemingly a situation where you just don't understand what's going on, right? Or like for myself and my schedule of I need to drop a podcast every week, and I've got these wonderful, amazing souls who've lent their time to me and want to be a part of what I'm up to, and my technology completely goes sideways and things don't show up the way that they're supposed to. This created all kinds of unnecessary emotional reactions in me that if I'm not careful, I will take out on the people around me. And here's the thing, my friends. What we end up doing is harming the people who are closest to us with our inability to contain our emotion. And most of us in our best self would never want to do that. But unfortunately, we get into this place where we actually do. And we do it in such ways that are actually really negative and harmful. So part of what we have to do in these moments in terms of trying to understand what to do when we're out of our containment is this. If you are at a point of shouting, shut up. If you're at a point where you feel like you are balled up and your fists are ready to just hit something, you need to separate yourself from the people around you, and you need to find a safe space to let that energy out. So if that means you go into the bedroom, you shut the door, and you grab a pillow and put it up to your face and just scream your lungs out, fine. Or if you beat the tar out of your pillow, fine. We don't do that to human beings, right? So the issue around not being able to contain our emotions is a really long-standing issue that therapeutic folks can really help us understand. In most cases, this comes from situations earlier in life where we felt out of control, we felt powerless, and we felt helpless to the extent that we actually were worried about whether or not we were going to be safe. The next big piece that comes up whenever we lose control is we increase our stress level. And this affects us biologically. This affects our blood pressure. This affects cortisol. This affects everything because we go into fight or flight mode. When we are in fight or flight mode, we cannot do anything generative. You cannot help whenever you feel like on the inside that you're freaking out. And so again, we have to do this thing where we understand what's really going on inside of us, where our capacity to actually do something about that lies, which is within us, and we need to separate ourselves from continuous stimulus on the outside so we can do something about what's going on the inside. That's a really important thing to understand whenever we're trying to deal with issues of anger. Our window of tolerance or frustration tolerance is a really important thing to understand when it comes to anger. In psychology, what we mean by the window of tolerance is how much capacity do you have to be frustrated before you become overwhelmed? For many of us, that frustration level is pretty big. We can take several things, stubbing our toe, the coffee maker's not working, the boss is putting a whole bunch of new stuff on your desk this morning, you rip your favorite pants whenever you sit down because these are the pants you've been wearing for the past 5 years, and all of a sudden the seam splits in the back. We can handle a lot before we get to that point where we are just done. When you're struggling with anger management, you're done when you wake up. There is no space for you to have any kind of frustration before you hit that spot where all of a sudden you're responding in ways that you don't want to. And for many of us who have people who are connected to us, children, partners, spouses, husbands, wives, and so on, we're in situations where we're constantly surrounded by other humans who are doing their thing. And if you've ever been around a kid, kids do what kids do and don't always understand that what they're doing might cause problems for us. And we have to be really diligent with ourselves that we do not immediately take out on the people around us what we're feeling on the inside. Because if I'm really frustrated at the boss because I just got handed a whole bunch of new work, and that means I'm going to miss the baseball game this week with the kids, I'm going to have a lot of feels about that. The kids do not need to be subjected to that. My dogs don't need to be subjected to that. No one does. I have to figure out how to deal with that frustration without causing that frustration to then become abusive towards others. And that's a really hard thing to do. So here's one of the tricks that I would suggest that I have used with clients over the years. If you're finding yourself constantly in that space of overwhelm because your window of tolerance is so small, first, you got to get back in the here and now. And to do that, we want to do what's called box breathing. And in box breathing, you breathe in as deeply as you can from your gut, as if your body is a balloon. When you get to the top of the breath, you hold it for a beat of three, and then you let go. You repeat this exercise at least 5 times. You should feel a little lightheaded whenever you're done. That means you're actually getting oxygen to the brain. Because here's the thing, my friends. When we get into a space of overwhelm, we go into fight or flight mode. So that means we're either ready to run, we're ready to fight, or we're freezing, and we become functionally impaired and unable to move, paralyzed, as it were. What the breath does is it brings us back to being able to function a little bit. Holding the breath at the top allows the CO2 oxygen process in our body to actually complete itself before we go to the exhale, which then allows our nervous system to calm down a little bit so that we can come out of fight or flight mode. Our fight or flight mode is ingrained in us as humans, and this is one of those things that kept us safe for centuries whenever we were struggling to just survive. Most of us do not live in situations where we are in survival mode every day. That's something that's really important to understand. But it's going to feel that way when you're trying to recover from anger issues. Everything feels like it is life and death, and you're fighting to survive. If you're in that mode, there is no way you can be generative. Imagine that you're talking to your son or your daughter when you're in survival mode. You're not talking to them about, I'm proud of you. I'm really happy that you made the baseball team. You did great on the spelling test. You look really adorable today in that new outfit. You're talking to them about, I need you to do X, Y, and Z today to make sure that nothing happens. So there's nothing else for me to deal with because we have to get through the day. To a kid, that sounds completely different. That doesn't sound like survival mode. That sounds like I'm being bossed around by somebody who really doesn't care about me. And I know, and you know, that that's not what we're really talking about, but that's what comes across. And this leads into the next thing, which is around cognitive distortions. In psychology, cognitive distortions are these weird thought patterns that we get into when we're in an overwhelmed state. These are the thoughts that we use to convince ourselves of the reality of what's going on. So going back to the bank teller analogy, let's say that I believe that the bank has actually stolen money from me, or that they are intentionally keeping my check from being deposited. I may respond to this bank teller as if they are the one who is doing that to me. That's inappropriate, because I might do or say something that I'm going to regret later simply because this is what my head is telling me when it's not true. Many men that I've worked with over the years who really struggle with a lot of anger management issues struggle with a very fundamental concept. Your partner is not responsible for your response. When I say to them, you cannot get mad at them because they are trying to take care of themselves, that's not okay with me. It's not okay that there are things that are happening that are not working because your person is trying to take care of herself in that moment. We've got to be really clear about that. You are responsible for your actions, not your partner. Cognitive distortions will also change the way in which we understand what's really happening around us. If my boss is being a jerk and my boss is unable to understand what I need from him, he's going to think that I'm not responding in the way that I'm supposed to in terms of being a good employee, and I'm going to see him as a complete and total jerk for coming at me with more work when they should already know how overwhelmed I am with the job that I'm trying to do. When we get to this overwhelmed place, we go into an impulsive state. And an impulsive state means if we think it, feel it, we're going to do it without there being a filter for understanding consequence. And that can be really dangerous. One of the things that also happens is conflict becomes normal. Imagine the fire of the anger inside of you becoming the fire of the anger outside of you. And everything becomes about the anger. And that what happens when we're trying to deal with anger issues, and all we see is escalation of that, and everywhere we turn, there's more fuel for the fire both inside of us, then there's fuel for the fire outside of us. Because the fundamental analogy of what you're seeking is seeking you means if I believe that I'm at war with the world, then the world is going to be at war with me. And that creates all kinds of chaos for the people that I love. And that means I'm showing my children that this is the only way to respond. This happens a lot with boys and their dads. When we're doing the tumble roughhouse play, when we're trying to toughen them up, what we're really showing them is that affection can only be done through violence. We can't just love on each other, right? And I'm not talking about wrestling around on the floor and horseplay and that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the idea that we literally tackle our son and give him no quarter, as it were, because we need him to understand that life is tough and life is difficult. that's not a life lesson. That's a lesson in you're not allowed to have affection unless it is laced with violence. Men do this with each other whenever they greet each other, walk up to each other and say hello, and it's either a punch on the arm or it might be a half hug, but we're immediately pushing each other away, right? Men are socialized to the idea that anger is the only emotion we're allowed to show each other. And to a man that we might care about, brother, friend, and so on, that's also going to show up as serious competition. So this idea of impulsiveness, when we hit overwhelmed, might mean that I believe I have to compete with my brother who's being really successful to the point where I ruin the relationship with him because I believe he deserves that. We then escalate conflicts to the nth degree because we have to win. And having to win is not going to keep our family together. There's also this notion that I might perceive the idea of an injustice somewhere, and that my perception of this injustice becomes so big that I might actually believe it's completely okay for me to enact a revenge. Now, let's say, for example, that on the way to the bank, somebody pulls out in front of me, causes me to have to hit the brake, and so I'm late to the bank, and they actually close because I get there 5 minutes after five. I might actually believe it is completely appropriate for me to follow that person home and make them pay for the fact that I can't get out the money that I had intended on getting out today. When in reality, it was a perfect storm situation, and it is what it is, and I can't do anything about the fact that I didn't get to the bank on time. So this notion of perceived injustice becomes really tough, because for a lot of guys, it actually becomes the only way in which they know how to respond to something, is this notion of, they did this to me, so I'm going to do this to them at a whole nother level. And this eye for an eye mentality, regardless of how you perceive that, is actually going to keep the entire world blind, which is the old analogy, but it also escalates things where there is no path. Hear this clearly. There is no path from the escalation back to a sense of normalcy, unless everything just blows up. And so what I would recommend is this. When you're trying to deal with life, when you're trying to figure out how to just get through the day in a healthy way, and you find yourself in one of these moments where you're like, you know what? I'm done. This person's going to pay for what's going on. Imagine that your child is beside of you, or that your mom or your partner or whoever it is you care about most. Imagine they are sitting beside of you, witnessing all of this. Do you want them to see that version of you? Do you want them to understand the world through that perspective of who you are in that moment, as if that is the only version of you they ever get to see? If you're like me, the answer to that is no. And in my own journey and experience, that's been the thing that I've been able to use with myself to pull back from those moments of wanting to prove something to somebody who I feel like has wronged me. Because I don't want to be that guy anymore. Because all the Incredible Hulk can really do is smash. So where we really get to is the idea of increasing our self-esteem by increasing our skills. Instead of our skills at an impulsive response, instead of that toolbox that's not working, right? I imagine all of those tools are made from a really flimsy aluminum that every time I use them, they end up bending and breaking and just causing more chaos. What if we use skills of resilience? Meaning I pull on what's worked for me in the past and create a space for myself where I can actually learn and grow in this moment to something different. When I use this resiliency-based model, my self-esteem is going to actually increase and conflicts don't seem quite as big or as bad. And so my friends, the idea is that life is going to happen. How we respond to it is how we control the outcome. I'll say the last couple of weeks have been really trying, but I'm really proud of how Jack actually responded, because a few years ago, I would have been a completely different person to the point where I might have actually had consequences from the way I would have responded because I would have been so upset. And it's a growth issue. And so as we create the Finding the Zen Within community, what we really want folks to be able to do is to lean into each other. Because again, our podcast is not therapy. Our podcast is a community of folks who are trying to seek out and find solutions and to build other ways of doing things. What we do in our work in coaching, either on the one-on-one level or in groups, is to give folks those skills of resiliency, to build that toolbox with you, to help you find the things that you're looking for. So if you want to find out more about what we're up to, go to our website, jack-register.com, and look for Finding the Zen Within. We really appreciate you being with us today, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Take care, friends.